for a minute, I was in trouble. He was using my proper name. If he'd have thrown that middle name in there, I would have known. All right. Nervous as always. I'll get through that in just a minute. You know, it's always about starting. It's that beginning, middle, and end for me. If there weren't those three things, I'd be all right. We're going to start in Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 6, 14th verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now I'd like for you to, while I carry on, I'm going to continue with my sermon, but I want all of you to picture in your head how you would be putting this armor on. How are you going to apply these tools that God's given you? We're going to revisit this in a little bit. So right now we're going to go to Psalms. We're going to start in Psalms 15. Psalms 15, 1 and 2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Who is it that will see salvation? Psalms 25. Starting at the first verse. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Patience, steadfastness, a hunger for the truth, a passion to have the gospel, to have the word of God in your life. Jump to verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. You know, the Lord provides to each one of us mercy and love, and grace. And you know, The one word that comes up so often is to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. And we talk about this in our Sunday school class quite often, that word fear, to fear the Lord, it doesn't mean to tremble before God. It doesn't mean to hide from God, because you don't fear God in that way. We know from the parable of the talents that the one who feared God was the one that he took away from. There was no reward for him. To fear the Lord is to respect the Lord. Respect the Lord, repent, receive that mercy, that grace, and that love. Psalms 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Do we walk in God's truth? Have you walked in God's truth? I say no because each and every one of us has, does, and will do. We justify a little sin in our lives. Do we not? Psalms 30. Verse 9. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? If not now, while still alive, then when? When will we change? When will we stop justifying that little sin in our life? When will we stop idolizing things of this world and start praising the Creator, our God, our Maker, our Guide? Psalms 31. First verse. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. For an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock, my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. How often do we plead with God? How often do we go to God pleading with Him to fix our situation? To fix us? How often do we diligently seek Him when we have a problem? And He does. He fixes it. He takes care of it. How often do we go back to our own ways? How often is it only convenient when we need Him? How often is He only convenient when we need Him? Have you committed your life to serve God? You know, He's committed to serving you. He committed so much He gave you His Son. A Son that was given to save you from those sins that you justify in your own life. Psalms 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord, it is right, and all His works are done in truth. Do you believe this? Do you sincerely believe that all of God's work is right? Your God's work, do you believe that He did that right? When He made you? When He made man? Or are you always trying to fix it? Are those things that are making you better than what, than the way God made you? Psalms 40. Starting at the first verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. They're infinite. God's blessings and miracles and tasks and His works that are in our daily lives can't be counted. They're infinite. They're from the beginning. And they will be until the end. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not Thou Thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let Thy loving kindness and Thy truth continually preserve me. Are you preaching to the great congregation? Are you going about each day with the thought and the words upon your lips to share with someone, anyone? Are the actions that you go about each day a witness? That sermon to the congregation. I say I don't do it well enough. It's hard. We're to witness. We are each ministers, servants of God. And our lives should be a continual sermon, a service to the great congregation. Just like this congregation. The words of God are shared with you. Some will hear them. Some won't. Some will accept them. Some will deny them. But it doesn't matter. You go about each day as a servant of God, delivering a message, whether it be 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 8 hours of your day. That is how we serve God. And I say we all fall short, me included. Right, Andy? The three pointed back at me. Psalms 45. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, in thy glory and thy majesty. And in the majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness and thy right hand. Shall teach thee terrible things. Terrible means wonderful here. Sometimes the Bible has words that are confusing to us. Terrible is a wonderful thing here. But gird thy sword. Gird thy sword upon thyself. Remember Ephesians? You have to hold that sword, the Word of God. We live our lives with one thing in mind, to be successful, right? Prosperous. Have you considered success may not be the material things that we so diligently seek? We do. I want things. You want things. I want to be happy. You want to be happy. Have you considered those things of the world that the world recognizes as success actually carry little or no value? Spiritually, they mean nothing. Our class today, we were reading in Proverbs 31. And we were talking about the virtuous woman. It talks about vanity. The vanity mirror. That vanity has nothing to do with God. God sees those things as nothing. How would God rather see you? Dressed to the nines? Or in sackcloth and ashes, we say. Humility. Not that prideful, arrogant glow because you are all shiny and painted. God wants you to prosper, but not materialistically. He wants you to prosper in meekness, humility, righteousness, and respect. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 51. Excuse me, I have several scribblings here, so I want to make sure my change is supposed to be. Starting with the first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God simply has a desire that we carry Him with us, that we have Him with us at all times, within our heart, within our inner self. Because where do our actions come from? Where do our words come from? Where do we project ourselves from? From inward, outward. God wants us to have Him within us, so that as we go about, He is projected. His will may be projected and shared. God has offered us a way to rid ourselves of our sins. The broken bones it speaks of that will rejoice, that's the shame and guilt from the sin. We repent. We rejoice of those broken bones. This is all done through Jesus Christ. Psalms 54. One through five. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer. O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. You know, sorry, my notes just don't mesh here. You know, the Lord judges us. It's only His judgment that concerns us. In our daily lives, we go about our business, and we want to be in our business life, we want to be that trailblazer, right? We want to be that person that cuts a new path, right? Yeah, we do. But oftentimes, in doing these things, we lose track of God's path. Not completely. We keep it in sight. We do. Because when we blaze our own path spiritually, we're vulnerable. We're weak. And when we're in trouble, God is always there. God will stand up to our oppressors, to our enemies. He'll always let you return. But the truth is, why do we want to leave in the first place? Because we justify a little sin in our lives. Because we know He'll always take us back. God is our protector. God never leaves you. It's you that strays from Him. Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You have the truth. You veered from the path. You've taken your own path because you think that every path leads to the same place. It is not true. All paths do not lead to God. God's path leads to God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. We all have a knowledge of a God, a creator. For God hath shewed it unto them. He has shown every one of us that He is alive. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even this eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The world, your path, our path that we seek in this world is filled with, some might call it competition. God calls it oppressors, adversaries, things like vanity, false idols. You see, God is there to protect us. But we have to stay with Him. He's not going to be that doting parent that every time you as a child start getting a couple of steps away, He's going to take your hand and pull you back. He's going to let you go. And every time you need Him, every time you plead to Him because you need a fix, a situation, or yourself, He's going to be there. But why? Why do you want to veer from His path? Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge. Unto these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Satan, your adversary, your oppressors. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth, Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. God has sent forth his protectors. He has sent forth those things which will save you from the grief and tragedies that befall those who have put him aside. Psalms 108. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations, for Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. We have to be alert. We have to be self-examining of our words, our lives, our tasks, and our outward appearance. Justifying a little sin creates a cloud, creates a barrier between our witness of Christ in our life, our witness of the glory and mercy and gifts and blessings that God has given us. Justifying a little sin in your life puts a barricade up against that. God is infinite. His power and His strength and His glory is from the heavens to the skies and beyond. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalms 145. Starting at the 17th verse. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Sincerity, trust, and respect, they are the things in which should be instilled in our lives to bring us closer to the opportunity of salvation. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 4 and 5. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell me? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Ephesians 6. We're back to Ephesians 6. You know, in preparation for this, I was hoping to have some props, I guess you might say. But have you all been thinking how you put that armor on? How you would go about putting on that gospel armor? I was thinking about how would the world go about today putting on that gospel armor? You know, you have the belt of truth. Well, where do a lot of people wear their belt these days? Ammon's laughing. You know, when you wear your belt down around the bottom of your bottom and your underwear is sticking out, think about putting on the armor, that belt of truth. And it's not where it's supposed to be. But you put it on down here because it's fashionable. And then you put on that breastplate, and because your belt isn't properly fastened and in the proper place, your posture isn't right, so that breastplate doesn't fit right. And you know, those sandals, those ugly sandals that you're putting on your feet, well, they're so last year, I'm just not going to wear them. We just won't shod our feet with preparation. You know, we're barefoot, our belt is on funny, our breastplate's kind of awkward because our posture isn't right. We scoop up that shield of faith, right? We've got that shield of faith. You know, our posture isn't right, so that shield is kind of awkward. And now we have to put on that helmet of salvation. Yeah. I don't think so. I spent an hour putting this product in my hair this morning. And that helmet will just not do me any good. Well, now because your posture's out of line, your breastplate's on kind of crooked, your feet are bare, you've got the shield in one hand, you got to hold things together with the other hand, so you can't pick up the sword. You can't pick up that weapon. It's going to protect you. So you're kind of hiding behind that shield falsely. You know, that belt of truth is the basis of the armor. That belt has to go on right. Because it holds things together. If it's not put on properly, if you don't believe the Word of God is the truth, your belt isn't fitting right. Those belts were designed in armor because they held the clothing together. They took that chainmail that they wore and it held it snug against their body. That way the breastplate fit properly. And it worked because it was on properly. They picked up the shield because they have on the truth. They believe the truth. They now hold that shield proudly and strongly because their posture is upright. You know why they shod their feet with those ugly sandals? Have you ever gone into battle? Say, play football, play baseball, play a sport where you're running through a field and do it barefooted. Where's your focus? You wear shoes for a reason, to protect your feet. You go into battle prepared. You're not going to go into battle looking at your feet, looking where you're stepping. You'll be destroyed in a heartbeat because you're looking down and your enemy is taking your head off. Take upon you that helmet of salvation. You have that armor on properly. You have that opportunity for salvation. You're protecting. From your head to your toes. You take with the hand that's free the Word of God, that sword that will destroy any of your adversaries. Because it is the word of truth. You know, when I was thinking about the gospel armor, the gospel armor isn't an actual suit that you're putting on. First person in the Bible I thought of when I was thinking about this was David. David and Goliath. You know, David was offered a suit of armor. You know, he volunteered to fight this giant, and he was just a boy. Just a boy. And they gave him a breastplate. They had a shield for him. But they didn't fit. So he went with what? What did he go in to face off with Goliath? He had on his gospel armor. He had the belt of truth. He believed in God, his creator. The breastplate, he was ready to battle again. He was ready to battle because he trusted in God. His feet were shod. He was battle ready, well practiced. Well practiced with the sling, well practiced in God. The shield of faith, he knew God wouldn't let him down because he hadn't before. What was David? He was a little shepherd boy. What had he done previously? He had slayed lions and bears, protecting his family's herd. That was his job. He trusted in God. A young boy. Take any one of the young boys in here and put them in a field by themselves with a stick, a sling, and a herd of sheep. Would you do that? David did that. David was in that field as a young boy. He trusted in God, and God provided for him the helmet of salvation. He was willing to serve God and his fellow man at any cost. And the sword. He had the word of God. He had the promise of God. And he trusted in it. Psalms 119. starting at the 137th verse. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I want to live. And I can say my life has become more, not a perfect, but more of a testimony to the trueness and the awesomeness of our God and how much He will go through to give to us prosperity and joy. Things that the world will not allow us to have for long. It's temporary. The world is temporary. Our blessings, our lives, believe in the Word of God, trust Him, and you will prosper.